What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
And off we go into the final hour of the Rob Brown Show right here on the Fan Upstate. It's Thursday. You know what that means? We got Fight Club with the great Milonzo coming up in the next segment of the show with the Royal Rumble in the background. We are now on the road to WrestleMania. We'll talk some pro wrestling coming up next. But it is Super Bowl Licks Week here on the show. And so we're talking a lot of football today. We talked some football earlier in the show. We talked some football now. As we welcome in an NBA and NFL analyst from the BetQL Network, he is also the executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this and find Odyssey stations nationwide every weekday from 7 until 11 p.m. He is Hayton S. Mario, a.k.a. Mario Heron. What's up, big fella?
How are we doing, gentlemen? I always, by the way, feel a little bad that I am right before Fight Club, because I feel like Fight Club is such an exciting segment. And then it's just like, here is a guy with kind of long hair still that just makes Rob and Lonzo very annoyed. So I do want to apologize to the audience.
First off,
he's cracking on Fight Club. He's cracking on wrestling, because remember, he's kind of cracking on it last
no,
week.
No, I'm not cracking on wrestling. I feel like that's an exciting segment.
Not only do
Fight
I
Fight Club.
We're not going to talk about John Jones' announcement? How do you know we're not going to do that?
Are we?
I would be.
What?
It hasn't been announced yet, though.
No, it hasn't. We can speculate about what it's going to be. How do you know we're not going to talk about that? How do you know we're not going to talk about the fact that he's ducking Aspinall and is probably going to retire so he doesn't get his face beat in? How do you know we're not going to talk about that?
I don't know.
There you go.
Exactly, you don't
know. I would also like to point out
Scott Jones versus McGregor.
I would also like to point out that last Tuesday on BetMGM Tonight, Ryan Horvat asked me about putting some wagers down on the Royal Rumble. All right, so wrestling, whether Mario likes it or not, very much welcome on BetMGM Tonight.
It is. I like wrestling. I like the talk of wrestling. I don't like watching it, if that makes sense, but I love the talk of it. I have no idea why. I'm fascinated by when people break it down.
You and I are usually on the same page, but you've got that condescending thing. And people, no. Here's the thing: people don't know that they're doing it, but they do it. Oh. You're a wrestling fan. You're that guy. Yeah. I mean, as has been mentioned about some things on the stream, it's a bless your heart attitude is what it is. Oh, bless your heart.
No, I'm being like completely serious. Like I love like the documentaries of wrestling. I'm really into. Like I love watching them. But for some reason I can't get into like the actual thing. But everything around it I find fascinating. The storylines, why they come together. I think that stuff, the behind the scenes stuff, I'm obsessed with.
Well, yeah, as a producer, the few times that every once in a while we get to go here, and we always end up sitting behind the TV producer. And where all the screens are and everything, and you get to see it. You still see the ring very well.
Yeah.
But you can see the guys backstage before they get ready to come out just a little bit. And you can see all the things and all the screens and everything, the audio and the video and everything they have to do and how intricate all that kind of stuff is. It's really cool how well oiled that is.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sorry, Rob, we just completely deranged your segment.
It's okay.
No, it's your segment. And and I am talking to you on your segment. So there you go.
Yeah. Welcome to the Mario Heron Show, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, my picture's on the building, dude. We're good. Me and you can talk the entire segment.
Let's talk hating ass Mario. We'll get into the Super Bowl here in a minute, but I do want to spend a couple of minutes as the NBA trade deadline coming up here in just a few hours. We've seen a flurry of moves. First off, 12-12 Saturday night, Luka Doncic traded to the LA Lakers. A Shams Wow drops. That's what we're calling it now. That everybody was like, is this real? Is this a real thing that happened?
But he doesn't know what that is.
You know what a ShamWow is?
See? You can see it on his face.
Yeah, that's all right. I got to keep reminding myself Mario's a child.
Under 30, right?
Yes. Yeah. Very.
So we believe that only the over 30 crowd would get that. So
we will come back to the ShamWow reference, but I do want to make sure we at least get a NBA take in here.
I'm going
to
stay over here. I'm going to stop.
What was your reaction? I've seen a bunch of people who have said Luka and LeBron both need the ball. They can't play together. I think that's hot garbage. I've seen people making the argument that the Mavs won the trade by ending up with Anthony Data Davis. I don't agree with that either. I think the LA Lakers didn't just, and everybody's talked about, well, they've solidified the future, right? They got a generational superstar for the next 10 years. They got the next face of the Lakers. Fine, they did for sure. It's also a Lakers team that's won 8 out of the last 10. A Lakers team that nobody's asking questions about J.J. Redick anymore. A Lakers team that has, I think, very much gelled around LeBron James. And now they add Luka to the fold. The only thought I have is rest of the West better be paying attention to the L.A. Lakers now, especially with the addition they made yesterday from Charlotte.
Yep. So that's a point I wanted to start off with is after this trade, the worst trade I've ever seen in all of sports, they added Mark Williams last night, which they desperately need a rock-solid center, obviously, after leaving Anthony Davis. And even when they had Anthony Davis, they're 27th in opponent points allowed in the paint, and they're the fourth-worst rebounding team in the NBA. So they desperately already needed kind of a defensive bump in their front court, and you're going to get that Mark Williams. Now, he's not the most healthy player, but, you know, guys have a 10-2 when they get to L.A. somehow find the fountain of youth because, you know, it's L.A., that whole trade is just still to this day. I wake up in the morning and I go, Luka is a Laker. And I think, how? Like, I had a friend that is a diehard Laker fan, and we talked Friday, and he works in sports as well. And I go, you know what? There's just really not a move left for LA to make. Like, you guys just have to really deal with what you got, keep building through the draft. Like, you guys just don't have enough assets to get anything going. And then he texted me after the trade, and all he said is, Lakers always win. And it hurt me to my core so badly, and I wanted to hit him in the face, but I love the kid, so I didn't. That all being said, look, I hated the move for the Mavs. I don't believe in that when people think they're still a contender in the West, that they still think that they could maybe win the West. I think that's completely false. You're going to have to lean a lot on a Kyrie Irving who didn't show up for you in the NBA Finals last season, who was, you know, historically can be very up and down. Kyrie's been acting very good in Dallas. What if he acts up now? What if he suddenly decides, you know what? I don't like the move you just made. I don't like losing one of the top five best players in the NBA currently. Now my attitude's going to get turned up. Now, you know, I'm not going to play as well on the floor. I'm not going to bond as well with my teammates. That could very much happen. It's Kyrie Irving. We've seen that movie before. Then you rely on Anthony Davis, who's not very healthy, and he's going to lead you in that front court action. See you later. That's just not going to work out for you. And on the Lakers side, the whole LeBron and Luka, there's only one ball. There's never been probably a guy more happy to have Luka on his team, to cut off ball, to take possessions off because he's older than LeBron James. That's perfect for him, I think. And Luka adds three-point shooting, which the Lakers desperately need as well. I think that's the most perfect marriage of all time. You can have LeBron take off possession after possession, just have Luka do his thing, and then LeBron can help on the defensive side of the floor with the undersize that you kind of have. So I think it's a perfect marriage. The Lakers are set for the next decade on what they want to do. the Lakers always win. And you're going to get Luka on a revenge tour, man. You don't think that he's standing next to LeBron, who's the fountain of youth, and he's not going to take a little sip of what he's drinking? Sure. Go ahead, believe that. People call Luka fat now. I guarantee you in 3 years, he's going to have the craziest transformation of all time. It's going to look like Dana White did when he listened to some crazy guy and probably took a bunch of steroids.
Buddy, I think Luka Doncic is going to be that in 3 months. Honestly, like by playoff time, yeah. Luka Doncic is going to be that way. If for no other reason than the Luka Doncic Dallas Revenge Tour is going to be an absolute heater. By the way, the Dallas Mavericks, I'm going to go ahead and call the shot now. They will never beat Los Angeles in a single game as long as Luka's there. They're just never going to beat the Lakers.
As long as he's playing?
Yep.
Yeah, no. If he's hurt, maybe, but I agree with you. And I'm going to bet his prop every time he plays Dallas.
Every time. I completely agree. Any other trades? I got to tell you, Jimmy Buckets over to the Golden State Warriors. I adore this. I think, Steph, I don't have the number to back this up. It's just the eyeball test, which I don't like to lean on, but here we are. I think Steph Curry, in terms of threes, I think he's probably put up more contested threes this year than in the rest of his career combined to date, because teams aren't afraid really of anybody else, so they can kind of close out on Steph. Adding Jimmy Buckets, even if he is only great in the playoffs, forces, I think, other teams to lay off of Steph to kind of balance the defense back out a little bit. I think you're about to see a three-point surge coming from Steph Curry. I don't necessarily think that this moves the Dubs into the favorite in the conference, but I do think they're a better team today than they were, even with the subtractions in order to add Jimmy Buckets.
The subtractions is a key thing for me, because we've heard the Warriors say over and over again they don't want to sacrifice their future to win right now. In that trade, they really didn't do that, man. Like, you gave away like old veteran players that you're just pretty much offloading contracts. And then you gave just this year's first round pick. But you kept TJD, you kept Jonathan, you kept Brandon. Like, you kept a core of guys that you drafted and that they turn out to be pretty good role players for you. And then maybe, you know, 2 to 3 years from now can be your next star players. As a fan, like if I was a Warriors fan, I would love the move. You get an aging Jimmy Butler. What if he has one more left in the tank, one more last sprint, one more last run, and you pair him with Curry and Draymond, and you just kind of see what happens, right? I like it for him. You know, respect to that. Now, I think Jimmy Butler's getting absolutely insanely overpaid for $121 million at that age. But, you know, get your bag and do what you got to do. As a fan, I love the move. As a bettor, you know, I wouldn't run to the bank to bet anything. You kind of mentioned Curry. His effective field goal percentage is actually his worst since 2019. It's taken a pretty massive dip. And I think that's just because of age. And, you know, a lot of miles on him. A lot of runs. You know, he also was very active this summer, too. He played in Team USA. Like, he's just an older guy, and you can't really lean on him. And Jimmy Butler can help with that. Injuries are the biggest weakness, and the West is really tough. But hey, your team got better. You can compete a little bit better, and you still have your own core that you can continue to develop. I think it was a very, very solid and smart move by Golden State.
I completely concur. Hayden S. Mario Heron from the BetQL Network joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Up Stay. All right, man, let's tune it over here for the last couple of minutes into Super Bowl licks down in New Orleans, Louisiana. The Eagles, the Chiefs going for the three-peat. The Eagles trying not to become the answer to a trivia question at bar trivia night sometime down the line. Look, I gave six keys to this game earlier in the show. You know, to me, both teams run defense. If Kareem Hunt finishes off the revenge tour, the redemption tour he's been on, Philly's in trouble. If Saquon Barkley does Saquon Barkley things and hit his over number, the Kansas City Chiefs are in trouble. There's a few others I threw out there, but instead of giving them to you, give me yours. One or two things that you think make the difference in this game.
So I think you nailed on the head with the Barkley and the run game. You have to just, he's such a good player. I think shutting him down completely is not really an option, but you have to slow him down. You know, instead of him running for 120 yards, what if you just kept him to 100? That's pretty big jump for that level of a player with the way he's been playing. I think the Chiefs have to do that in order to win the game. On the Eagles side, I think you have to stuff the box and you just have to force the wide receivers to get open. That's what I would do. Travis Kelce can find any hole in his own, but those receivers aren't that talented, right? Like, the receiving corps for the Chiefs is nothing to run home about. But Andy Reid can just scheme them open. make those guys do that themselves, I think they're going to be in a pretty good spot. I think another key is take care of the football. Both teams are so talented and are so good at turning over the ball, and as soon as you do that, they take advantage of it right away. They jump on you, and then it's very hard to get out of that hole. And I think the other key for both teams, jump out to an early lead. I think this is bigger and more important for the Eagles. Very hard to chase points against Patrick Mahomes, because usually when you're chasing points, that means the other team has the ball after you scored to tie the game. I don't know about you guys, but I would really, really not want to be on the side of Mahomes with the ball with about 1 minute left and two timeouts or one timeout. I'd be all set on that. That's game, set, match, Chiefs win. So I think that's a guy be a big key for the Eagles in that one. Because of that, too, I like no QB to throw an interception. I don't see Patrick Mahomes or Jalen Hurts getting really dicey with the football, right? And you can get that plus 140. I think that's a very, very solid bet and smart play. These are two guys that show up in very big moments. And if they don't like what they see, they go off and they run. They don't, you know, force something downfield. That's why I also like Patrick Mahomes' rushing yards, too, by the way. I love that thing. I'm going to make out with it probably after this show. It's one of my favorite bets of the day. I also look at Jake Elliott, too. I'm trying to find more props for him to, you know, miss some kicks. I think that guy's going to really fuck her out.
That's another thing. Plus 550 for a doink, by the way. Take it.
Since both of you guys are betting guys, is there something out there about a trick play going bad? Because there's always a trick play pulled out in the Super Bowl.
I mean, if you looked hard at some overseas books, you could probably find one somewhere. But that's it's kind of hard because that's one of those things that you'd have to define to me, like, what's bad? A trick play for negative yardage? Trick play for a turnover?
A trick play for a turnover.
Yeah. I was about to say, maybe something along that caliber is, Rob, did you say this? It was like a anytime touchdown score for someone that's 300 plus.
So
it's like pretty much an alignment.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was you or not.
I was looking at the potential for either Jalen Carter or Chris Jones to potentially have an ATD because both of those guys are going to blow up the pocket. And if either one of these teams ends up stuck on the one coming out, Jalen Carter and Chris Jones become absolute dogs in that spot. And those are going to be like 9-1 plus or longer. But I don't know that I'm going to pull the trigger. Here is the one that I did want to ask you about. Over-under numbers at 48.5, opened at 49. It's come down a full point since we talked about it last Tuesday. Look, if you're an over-better, grab it now, because I do think the total on Sunday when the casuals get involved is going to push that thing up to at least back to 49.5, maybe a full 2 points up to 50.5. Is this a high-scoring game, or are you? Because I'm riding both defenses are top five in the league, and I think they're going to show that on Sunday. Are you an over guy or an under guy, and why?
Under. I'm probably going to bet that literally as they're putting the football on the field.
Yeah.
I mean, like they're putting it down the kick. That's probably where I'm going to bet it. Look, both these defenses are top red zone defenses. They're all year, they're top 10 in points allowed. And they're going to show that. And you have, look at the defensive minds in this game. Vic Fangio and Spagnuolo. Both of those guys, if you asked anyone in the NFL who are the best defensive coordinators in football, those two guys would come up right away, right? I think they're going to go all out, and they're going to be killer in this game. And also on the flip side of that, I think how the Eagles win this game and kind of like their script is you obviously have to run the football and you really want to establish it. When you run the football, that clock tick, 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 it ticks down. And I think an under game is kind of what the Eagles would almost prefer in a way. So again, I think Chiefs win the game, but I do think it's going to be a lower scoring game. I think it's going to be not a shootout at all. I'd be surprised if it was, to be honest with you, just because of how talented these defenses are. So I lean under big time in this game.
All right, right before we let you go, final score.
I am going to go 20-17. Kansas City Chiefs pull off the three-peat.
There it is. Three-peat called for by Hayton Ass Mario from the BetQL Network, executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear every weeknight right here on this and fine Odyssey stations nationwide. My guy, good to talk to you. We'll do it again next week. We'll recap, and we will see. By the way, De'Aaron Fox and Victor Wembanyama are going to be terrifying for a long time.
Oh, my God. Watching that game last night, I was like, this is so fun to watch.
Told you.
It's so fun.
Told you. Pops had a smile on his face. I'm not used to that this year. That's Hayton Ass Mario. Fight Club is next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where we talk all things squared circle, octagon, Walmart parking lot, or cubicle fracas. So, you know, if there's something going on downstairs in the cube, we'll be down there. We will be monitoring. We will go live, and we will do excellent play-by-play and color. I guess Rob would have to do the play-by-play because he has more experience, and I would probably enjoy the fight downstairs more than he would. So being able to comment on it would be a lot more fun. So anyway. Look
damn
at
it.
You. Wow.
Two in a day?
No, two and a half. I mean, because you cut yourself off. That should count.
Well, then it's one and a half.
Okay.
A day.
Well, no, that's two and a half. This, oh, in a day.
In
yeah,
a
you're
day.
Right. You're right. We still got time.
We still got time.
You could do another one.
I will tell
over.
You, and I've, I, for me, and I know that this is true in wrestling because I did it for a local indie company for a month and a half down in Florida before I moved. Color commentary is more fun.
Oh, for sure.
You get to cut loose. It's more fun. Play by play obviously kind of makes you the front man. Color commentary is more fun.
All right, maybe we trade off during the fracas. I doubt it would last very long, depending on who's fighting downstairs. If it's a girl fight, we probably got time. Yeah, because girl fights last longer. A guy fight, couple punches nailed, and they're well-dressed downstairs.
Oh, no, dude. There's two or three downstairs.
There's a couple guys got reach.
Yeah. A couple guys downstairs, I think would end fights sooner than we'd like
them to. Do they fight like basketball players, though? I don't know, because they're both really, really tall, the two guys I'm thinking of. Do they throw down?
Like, I don't know. I think there's only one way to learn how to fight, and that's to fight. I mean, that's just, it's one of those things that you can only learn via experience.
Says the guy who's never fought. So.
I've never been in a street fight. I have boxed.
Okay.
I have been in the ring with the greatest pound for pounder of all time. I promise you that if it was just like generic movie bar fight, I'm holding my own.
Good.
If only because I know how to actually throw a proper punch. Now, the minute somebody gets a hand on my collar and pulls me into the clinch, I'm in trouble because I've never done Muay Thai or jiu-jitsu or any of that. But if this is something where I can kind of like circle, keep range, work a jab, I promise you I'm holding my own because of the science of the sport.
Well, fight downstairs probably would involve staplers and paper clips and things like that. So, which would be, again, a lot of fun to watch. Possibility of debris heading your way, but you get the same thing if you're at a WWE event where there's a lot of no-holds-barred fights. Speaking of a no-holds-barred fight or an octagon fight, a fight that's probably never going to happen. We talked about this a little bit with Mario earlier. John Jones is supposed to make an announcement sometime in the next couple hours. All right, he threw something up on X last night saying he would make an announcement about his future today. And we are going to find out. There's speculation that he retires rather than fight Tom Aspinall. But Dana White had said before that he believes that he could get the right kind of money to get him to take the fight. What do you think? You think he's going to take the fight or you think he retires?
I mean, honestly, I don't know. I could see it go in either direction. I could see him stepping away because, I wonder if he thinks he's at the point now where if he gets slept in a fight like this again, because the last couple of fights he's been in haven't really been against the guys that we have wanted him in the octagon.
I don't know. I wanted to see him fight Stipe, but Stipe looked like a paycheck for Stipe.
Yeah, I mean, Stipe at that point.
Yeah, he's like, okay, yeah, pay me. That's what it looked like.
He did the fight you and I wanted to see 7 years ago. Right? Like 7 years ago, we wanted that fight. And John Jones has held up better than most fighters for that long. Stipe, as much as we love Stipe Miocic, just ain't, he didn't. And so that was kind of it. I could see John Jones doing either. I could see him going, I've had my fun. It's been a run. And, you know, I'm going to hand it off to the generation upcoming. I could also see John Jones getting into his ego a little bit, being told, you know, especially afterwards, that you're not retiring. You're just permanently ducking a fight you could lose and getting into his head a little bit. The other angle of this is, I genuinely don't know that I care what John Jones does anymore.
See, that's the thing for me. I haven't bought a pay-per-view in a while. The last one I bought was for John Jones because I wanted to see him lose. So the part of me that wants to see him lose hopes he doesn't retire so I can dish out the $70 or whatever it is to maybe get one last shot of him.
Taking one last shot?
Yeah, of him tarnishing his legacy within the octagon. He's already done it outside. I don't think he retires. I think the money is right because I want him to retire. I don't think he retires. I think he takes this fight. I do.
Honestly, like I said, I don't. I really don't know that I care. I don't know that I'm throwing the 70 spot at John Jones, but I will tell you that I know of a couple of local watering holes that show UFC cards, and I could. Let me put it this way: I don't know that I'm going out of my way for it. I do know that if the fellas called and said, yo, we're going to hit up, you know, local drinking hole A and they got the fight on, I would go.
Here's what they'll do, and they did this last time too, but they'll do it again. They will stack that card because win or lose, he's probably done.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah, so your chance to watch him win or lose, a lot of people are going to pay that money. But who knows? Maybe he just comes out and retires.
I could see them, if nothing else, I could see them billing this as, you know, the last time to see the kid.
Yeah. Yeah. And which would be a good move, and it will get some more buys. All right. Royal Rumble happened last week. We only touched on it a little bit during the week because it is Super Bowl week. So a little more time.
What Super Bowl is it?
Yeah. Licks, apparently.
Yeah.
It just sounds nasty.
Way to buy into the bit.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm a team player. Royal Rumble recap. The men. All right, first, here's some observations. First of all, no Kofi.
No Kofi.
And they played it well. They played it well. They played it into their new heel persona. The fact that the WWE as a whole is being disrespectful to all that they've done, not allowing Kofi. And Kofi put, it's not a direct quote, but it's basically what he said in his ex post about not being in the Royal Rumble, which was. It was pretty good. It really was. I hate that he wasn't in there because it's one of the things you look forward to. But you also got to look at the last couple. He missed each time on the things that he was trying to do.
Yeah.
And instead, Logan Paul did it this time, which was not that amazing compared to the stuff that Kofi did. But he did jump onto the announce desk and then made his way back. And again, a guy who's gotten into wrestling late. Also, the speed thing, we talked about it earlier. Speed got tore to pieces. That guy's been in a couple matches, and he always gets hurt. I hope he gets paid a lot. It's not really a match. Listen, this wasn't a match. You go into the Royal Rumble, and how much money would you take, Rob Brown, to get speared like that from Bron Breakker?
I don't know, but it better cover the friggin' hospital bills. So here's the thing. Speed is a YouTube streamer and apparently is making millions of dollars per year by just streaming. He just goes places and lives his life and puts it on YouTube. And I don't know what it is about this kid that makes him so compelling. I'm not here to judge. Again, I watch like 6 hours of professional wrestling a week. I'm not here to judge anybody's entertainment style, except the youth. You're dumb. Stop watching this. I don't know what it is about this kid. What I do know is he gets millions of views on his stream and he makes millions of dollars for it. This is one of those things that regardless of what WWE was willing to pay him to go in there and take one of the most brutal spears we have seen in a very long time. He threw it up on his social media. He's gotten something to the tune of like 25 plus million views.
It's more than that now, by the way.
Whatever it is, this dude is going to make more money from his audience taking this bump than WWE was going to pay him. That was an investment, and it's going to pay off for the kid. I'm not mad at him. I can't hate at him. He figured a formula. It works. Get the player, you know, get the bag. They hate the game, not the player, whatever. I would rather watch Speed take that bump 500 times than ever see Logan Paul in a wrestling ring.
All right. The Rumble started out with Chad Gable surrounded by Lucha Libre.
That was so awesome.
Yeah, it was really good.
That was really good.
There are so many stories within this, which this is the beginning of WrestleMania season, and this is when you do this. But just starting it off that way was great. And also the way they did that is the end of the Rumble was so heavy with ex-champions. It's like the first time in forever, or maybe the most ex-champions coming in succession and being left in the ring, which was really, really cool. Also, Joe Hendry, I believe, Rob believed, you believed, Joe Hendry was in there, and the fact that Sheamus was a fan, and he's been excellent about it, and also, Jacob Fatu. Jacob Fatu is so good.
Credit to the bookers in this match. It got to the final eight. I had no idea. Honestly, got to the final eight, and I'm like, okay, I can see McIntyre winning. I can see Punk winning. I can see Seth winning. I can see Roman winning it. The only one I couldn't see winning it was Logan Paul, but he had the moment where he eliminated Punk, and it's like, oh, and maybe they're going to swerve the crap out of
that. That made you really angry, and I was really excited.
Made me very angry because
I was excited about that. I don't care about Logan Paul, but I don't like CM Punk, so watching him being eliminated,
I will
great.
Take the wrestling bad guy who I don't like his career decisions before I take actual bad human being Logan Paul, who is an actually bad human being.
I know you've said that many times.
And spoiler alert, I'm going to say it again. I thought they did a fantastic job. It was the first Rumble in a while that it wasn't just like, well, I think that guy's going to win, but like maybe that guy or that guy. There were eight people in the ring, and I'm like, any one of these guys could end up being the winner, and they still pulled the rug out from underneath
They did beneath a lot of people, and a lot of the loud people on the internet, very angry about Jey Uso winning. And then I like all the replies by a bunch of people like, did you watch Monday Night Raw? Did you see the crowd response? Some people are saying it's bigger than the Yes Movement. I know that offends you probably.
Well, it's not true.
But I agree with it. It's bigger than the Yes Movement and with a more likable person.
And also no.
Yeah, for sure. And definitely taller.
Prime.
There, you can't deny that.
No, I can't deny that.
There.
Prime face Daniel Bryan going up against the Authority was a place where, and again, wrestling is at its best when you can insert yourself into a story. You can go, I see that, I feel that. Prime anti-authority Yes Movement Daniel Bryan was the most organically white hot superstar, I argue, maybe of my entire lifetime. But that being said, the internet wrestling community sometimes has to be reminded that while you are a large faction of fans, you are a minuscule faction overall of wrestling fans. And whether, we talked about this last week going into the Rumble, whether it is Jey Uso that is over or whether it is just the Yeet that is over, the entrance, the ability to participate, because fans love to participate. We've had plenty of wrestlers come in here and go, listen, there's nothing fans love more than getting themselves over, right? Whether it's Jey or the entrance or Yeet or whatever, what matters is that there was, if you go back and watch that show, there was one point in the entire pay-per-view where they backed out and showed the entire building, and it was while everybody was yeeting all over the place, Maggle. The only other like wide shots you got were Charlotte when she won, and it was a dead crowd. You got Alexa Bliss's pop for the return. It was alive for that, but they really just kind of showed the ramp of the people around it. The only full stadium view that you got was during Jey Uso's Royal Rumble victory celebration, and the entire place was unglued participating in it. All of that being said, boy, howdy, am I excited to watch Sami Zayn the next couple of months.
Okay, a couple more things real quick. I don't know if you saw Raw.
I have seen all. Yes, I finished it. Yes.
So you know that KO. Did the what is it? The basket pile driver? I forget what it's called.
The package pile driver.
Yeah.
He did it to Sammy, and Sammy was out cold after a handshake from CM Punk. After another loss to Punk, which is going to, again, be interesting because I think it's the season of self-doubt of Sami Zayn. And then to get dropped on his neck like that by Kevin, there's your WrestleMania matchup. I want one thing, Lonzo. I want KO in the ring. I want the lights to go out. I want the lights to come back on. And the El Generico mask is in the ring. It's all I want.
Never going
to
happen.
I want El Generico.
The John Cena
John Chain.
Promo afterwards was excellent. Never seen him do a promo like that, really.
Concurred.
Yeah, and it was good. Really quick, because we always run a little bit late on this. Not to sell the women short, I thought that was great. I love Jordan Grace. Knew she was going to be in it. And her doing what she did to Piper.
Oh, dude.
That was
Joe and I stopped. We were like, what? She's a beast.
She is.
She's a beast.
We'll see what she does.
And she's entertaining.
She is. By the way, you know who was not entertaining for me? Nikki Bella and Trish Stratus. It's like I think maybe some people fell through and they had to grasp and get some other people in there. And that's who.
I don't mind. Well, so there's a thing going around right now that originally Shotzi Blackheart was scheduled to be in the Rumble, and they took her spot away for Nikki Bella. And I don't know if that's going to end up being an angle or if that's legitimate or not. There was no reason for Nikki Bella to be in there. I don't mind Trish. I think Trish has gotten
See,
to that.
I heard the same thing, but it was Alexa Bliss that they replaced
Maybe
her
that
with.
One, too. I mean, it could be any. I will say very simply that I think that ultimately you end up in a spot where Trish has reached the highest echelon of superstar fandom, like stone cold levels of do whatever they want to do. They've earned that. We'll see. All right, that's it. We'll come back. We'll wrap this show up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. I did a segment earlier this morning where astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson broke down.
You did that segment. Great for you doing
Thank you.
That segment.
Thank you. I understand.
See, you're trying to leave me out of this segment because I caused problems.
Correct.
Fine.
Correct.
Fine. You're editing me out of the segment.
Only because all you did was trash talk astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson, who was just trying to inject a little information and education into football.
What was that nerd show that was very popular that everyone watched but we didn't?
Sports Science?
No. I'm talking about the comedy show.
Big Bang Theory?
Yeah. You just did like an episode of Big Bang Theory.
No, I did not.
You did.
See, Big Bang Theory is a show.
You might as well declare your love for Will Wheaton.
Big Bang Theory is a show for dumb people about smart people, okay? It's what if we take smart people, but we make a show for dumb people. Neil deGrasse Tyson is for smart people and talks about things for smart people, like when he broke down the Tush Push.
Talk real slow for the simple people because I believe I'm smarter and better than they are.
No.
So if I talk real slow, maybe they will understand.
Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson did a show. It was a revamp of the show Cosmos from back in the day that Carl Sagan did. Another one of my heroes, my idols, did a remake of the show called Cosmos. And what you will find out about Neil deGrasse Tyson is that as much as he is an astrophysicist, a scientist who's on the cutting edge of our understandings of the physics of the universe, both at a macro and a quantum level, which I think beyond fascinating, on top of that, he's an entertainer. Because here's the reality about America in 2024. You want people to learn stuff, you got to entertain them with it. You got to entertain. Think back to your favorite teachers in middle school and high school, not the ones that were throwing desks at you, but the ones who actually made you want to learn things. Those teachers.
By the way, those teachers did make me want to learn things because
so that
you know
they
why?
Didn't throw desks
exactly.
at you. Yeah.
Exactly.
But your favorite teachers were the teachers who entertained you while they were educating you. They made it fun. They made it interesting. They made it different or whatever. Neil deGrasse Tyson has stepped into a role that has been filled in years gone by people like Bill Nye and Carl Sagan and others who made science entertaining. So you didn't just sit in a classroom with a teacher who went, force equals mass times acceleration. But they actually showed you what that means, right? They showed you how it works.
And that's
fantastic.
I can literally see the ghost of Ray over your shoulder right now.
I don't care. Unrest in peace, Ray. You'll have to deal with it. Haunt somebody else. The reason Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson finishes like that is because he speaks as an entertainer. He wants to make it dramatic. And even though it is a crossover with football. It is something that, if you are fascinated, as I am by this stuff, you find it entertaining. And when Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson effectively says, going into the Super Bowl, you can't stop the tush push. The laws of physics basically prevent you from stopping the tush push. I said this last week. There's one way to stop the tush push, and it's the Eagles messing up. There's nothing as a defense you can do to stop the brotherly shove.
Yeah, there is. There is. Never let that offense get in a position.
That's not stopping the tush push. That's just not letting them run it.
Right, which is
the difference.
Which is, in effect, stopping it. So you're stopping it by not allowing them to use it.
Semantics argument. No, you're not stopping it. They're just not using it to be stopped.
It's a method to stopping the unstoppable.
It is a method to stopping first downs, for sure. But blah, 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 blah. The point here is Dr. Neil deGrasse Tyson just took what I think is a very interesting lesson in physics and how they work and, you know, the concepts of force and vectors and mass and all that and summed it up before the biggest football game of the year in football terms. And I find it beyond fascinating. Neil deGrasse Tyson was doing quite the opposite of going, I'm trying to talk slow for the dumb people. Quite the opposite. What he was doing was trying to get the people who maybe don't care or never learn or don't want to learn about how physics translates to sports, which is massively important, and make it interesting, compelling in a way that you don't have to sit through a friggin' Harvard lecture to get it. You can just understand it at its simplest form, and I think we need more of that.
I will bring this up again when you're speaking to the casuals.
We just got a text that said, love you, Rob, but shut up, nerd. That's fair. That's fair.
All right. Time to find out what the X is going on. Rob will know because I will tell him, and he will just automatically know. He won't have to look it up. He just knows these things. The first thing that's Xing is Austin Reeves.
Austin Reeves Xing. I don't believe Austin Reeves has been traded unless that happened this morning. But my assumption here is with Dalton Kanect heading out of L.A. on his way to Charlotte. My bet is the conversation is how Austin Reeves now fits into this lineup, who has been a stalwart for the Lakers the last couple of years in kind of a half starter, half reserve role, but also plays a very similar game to Luka Doncic, meaning he's likely going to see less time moving forward. Does he become a trade piece before the 3 o'clock deadline?
By the way, first of all, I don't believe that he doesn't complement Luka. I think he will be on the court at the same time. No, the reason why he is Xing is there's video out there of LeBron and Luka and Austin Reeves out beyond the 3-point, just shooting.
I'm here for it.
And it looks formidable because Austin Reeves is a spark plug. He is so unexpectedly, I think, to a lot of people, really good.
He is. I'll tell you this, though. If I was Charlotte, I think I'd have asked for Austin Reeves before Dalton Kanect. And you know I love Dalton Kanect. I think I'd have said, I'll tell you what, Austin Reed, a first and a pick swap, and we'll call it good. Austin Reeves, pardon me.
Yeah, because Austin Reed, that's a different guy. All right, the next thing that is Xing is Eli Manning.
Eli Manning has been down at the Super Bowl on Radio Row. I did see, I don't know if this is why, but they were doing a gathering of the Giants who beat the undefeated Patriots, kept them from being the only undefeated one. And one of his offensive linemen was like, yo, tell me what happened on that Tyree catch. And he looks his offensive lineman in line. He's like, before we do anything else, I would like to say, what the hell were you doing not blocking? Like, he was chastising his old OL. That being said, I don't know why
he's doing it. All right, he is Xing because tonight is the NFL Honors.
That's right.
Also, at the NFL Honors, they will announce who is going into the Hall of Fame, and a lot of people up in arms saying that Eli Manning doesn't belong there.
Yeah, Eli Manning is one of the more, let's say, contentious Hall of Fame prospects of the last couple of years. But my guy got two rings. He was in charge of the Giants. Look at what's happened with them since he left. Like, I honestly say Eli goes in great one. But I'm also going to say he goes in as a fringe. He's not going to be like one of those guys that we look at and go, yeah, so he's
first,
an all-timer.
He's first ballot.
I think he's going to be first ballot. Yeah, I do.
I think he is too. I don't think he should be. But Although you would say by my standards, he should be because he won two Super Bowls.
Correct.
But he threw a ton of interceptions. He got benched. There was just a lot of, he decided I'm not going to play there. There's a lot of things that I think factor into why he shouldn't be, but he will be.
Wins and losses are a quarterback stat unless Lonzo doesn't like him.
No, that's not. I was using what you say that I say.
That is
what
you
mean. But what you say that I say is not what I say, and I'm not saying what you say that I say. The next thing that's Xing is hashtag we want Drew.
We want Drew trending, I assume, because, and I'm tired pretending like it's not the case. Drew McIntyre's had this company on his back for 5 years now.
And gets messed over every single time.
Every time. Now, here's the question mark. Was the spot where he got eliminated a genuine accidental elimination, or because the rumor going around is that Drew stormed out after the Rumble mad that somebody went into business for themselves and ended up costing him the elimination. The belief is it's LA Knight, yeah, or Logan Paul. Was it a work? Or is this Drew? Because Drew's also been playing the dirt sheeters like a fiddle.
Come on, man. It's a work.
I like Drew McIntyre a lot.
Yeah, for sure. It's a work.
That's it for us, kids. Thanks for being here. Hope you enjoyed the radio program. Tomorrow, we lock in our Super Bowl picks. Be here. Don't drink and drive. I'll punch you in the face. Have a great rest of your day. See you tomorrow to do it all over again, but better on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Later.